This is Reformation Sunday. Our first lesson is from the book of Revelations, chapter 14, 6 and 7 verses. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
This Saturday, it will be 498 years since the day an Augustinian monk in Germany posted his 95 theses, 95 statements to which debate was invited, were nailed to the castle church door in Wittenberg. What an outlandish thing to do! What an affront to the church to nail something to the church door! Well, not really. You see, the church door in Wittenberg, as many of you know, was the equivalent to the public bulletin board in the lobby of Publix. If you wanted to get something publicized, advertised, that's where you put the notice, on the church door. But this notice, this posting, was a bit different. It was different because it was written in Latin. Latin was the scholarly language of the day. At that time, there were basically three subgroups of the population that could read and understand Latin: doctors, lawyers, and priests. You see, Luther wasn't intending to stir any pot of spiritual revolution. Now, he was troubled by a number of the practices of the Roman Catholic Church of that day, but all that Luther was intending was to use his 95 theses and have a scholarly debate about the practices they addressed. To this day, no one truly knows who it was that translated his long list of theses into German, which within weeks were translated into several languages and distributed throughout much of Europe. And given all that happened as a result of these theses, I would suggest that God had something to do with it. But in an effort to be relevant to a contemporary society that knows little to nothing about the great Protestant Reformation, well, I thought I would share with you what Jeff Foxworthy might say. If you're celebrating Reformation Day, you just might be a Lutheran. That was pretty good. You didn't like my impersonation? Well, this one's not going to be any better. This is what Lawrence Fishburne, the man from the Matrix movies, might say. What if I told you October 31st is Reformation Day, not Halloween? I don't have a deep voice like he does. Then, too, the most interesting man in the world might want to weigh in. I don't always hand out candy on October 31st, but when I do, I say Happy Reformation Day. Now, the people in the first service have a better sense of humor than you. Oh, you're making up for it now. I see how it is. Well, it's a little known fact that the most interesting man in the world is guilty of some pretty serious plagiarism there, because everyone knows that everything you see on the internet is true and trustworthy. And therefore, I found a picture of Martin Luther that has him saying, I don't always nail things to church doors, but when I do, stuff happens. He didn't say that. Okay. Many people think of Martin Luther as a profound and dizzying intellect. He was. But unlike many dizzying intellects, he had an additional ability. He was able to be an honest theologian, willing to allow the Word of God speak for itself. And he was willing to give advice. Here's a piece of advice that he gave to pastors. Always preach in such a way that if the people listening do not come to hate their sin, they will hate you instead. Now, I might prefer to have had him say, always preach in such a way that the people won't hate you. And, you know, you can find a lot of preachers today who might approach that. But what Luther says is right. For if they hate you as a preacher because of what you said, you know what? You likely said the right thing. Because at the very least, their consciences have been awakened. And the truth is, that's exactly what happened to Martin Luther. He spoke and wrote things that irritated the powers that be, and they came at him with a vengeance. And I just used the word that was really at the center of it all, the word truth. The long and the short of the Reformation was that it was about truth and the source of truth. Oh, there were many other things that came about and had great importance because of the Reformation, things like grace, the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Jesus, the importance of faith, and the proper role of works. But it began when Luther started to study the Bible and God's many truths. When he started to read that in earnest, something began to happen inside of him. You see, it may surprise you to learn that priests in those days didn't really read much of the Bible. Rather, they read the people that are referred to as the church fathers, people like Augustine and Irenaeus and Polycarp and so forth. But when he began to read Scripture, something happened in him. And as he studied, he noticed that there were a number of things that the church did, taught and required of people that simply didn't square with the truths of Scripture. For example, he saw this in Scripture. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Greek, Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Now, it just so happened that at that time, the same time that Luther was really digging into the Bible, the Pope down in Rome had a problem. He was broke. He had set his heart on building a church. Today, we know it as St. Peter's Basilica at the Vatican in Rome. But as I said, as he was building the cathedral, he ran out of money. He therefore authorized a priest by the name of John Tetzel to travel throughout Germany to sell indulgences. Now, Tetzel was a persuasive preacher, we are told. It is said that at the end of his indulgence sermons, he often said, "Each time a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." In other words, when you buy an indulgence, you can buy someone out of purgatory. But Luther discovered a couple of problems with this. One, the people were poor already and could ill afford to spend their money on indulgences. And he held that view because, A, there's not a word in Scripture about purgatory, about the existence of purgatory. And B, as clearly taught in the Scripture on the wall, and many other Scriptures as well, there is nothing we can do to earn or buy our way into heaven. Luther was deeply troubled by this selling of indulgences. He understood that it was a gift of God, this salvation that is ours. Again, the issue was truth. You see, the problem with truth is that it often gets in the way. It often gets in the way of what we'd rather believe. Or, as was the case in the debate that ensued between the Pope and Luther, truth got in the way of what the Pope wanted to accomplish through the selling of indulgences. And the same is true today. Truth can often get in the way. For example, in many places in our culture, we are told that if we must believe in God, we must be inclusive and not claim that our religion is the only proper one. That's difficult for Christians, because it was Jesus who said, "I," referring to himself, "I am the way and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, there's just not a lot of wiggle room there. An example of how we are being pressured to conform to any of the above approach to matters of faith, or, in other words, don't claim anyone religion is right and true. When I was invited to pray the opening prayer for a session of the governor's cabinet meeting a few years ago, I was sent instructions that I was not to pray anything specific to my religion. Hence, I was not to pray in the name of Jesus. Really? Really? I confess, I broke their rule about not praying in the name of Jesus. My friends, truth matters, even if it's inconvenient. The Bible tells us that sin, separates us from God. I'm a sinner. I still sin. So do you. We need to not only know the truth that sin separates us from God, but we also need to know the truth that the only way to be forgiven our sins is through faith in the work of Jesus Christ. He took our punishment for us. And the truth continues. The truth is, we don't even have the faith to believe in Jesus. The truth is, God gives us the faith we have in Jesus. The truth is, we are recipients of the outlandish grace of God. For we have received grace upon grace upon grace. For we have received a multitude of undeserved gifts from God. And the truth is, the world that doesn't want us to speak of Jesus needs to hear the truth about what Jesus has won for them. Forgiveness, eternal life, and God's help here and now. Yes, they need the same truth we need, even if they don't want to hear it. Because at the end of the day, truth matters. And I want to get to something specific that we heard Jesus say in today's gospel lesson. But before I do, I need to share something else. It is popular in our culture to not only discourage the sharing of one's personal faith in Jesus, it's also popular to adopt the parenting strategy that essentially says, I want my child to come to their own conclusions about God. What a dangerous, truly dangerous approach. Please consider this truth. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. I stand before you today to say that what you see there on the wall is totally true. Totally true. It is the very plan of Satan to get parents to abdicate their parenting responsibilities and essentially their responsibility to teach, especially their responsibility to teach their children to follow Jesus. Every year, I make this plea to the parents of confirmands to keep on parenting them in their faith. And it seems that every year there are parents that seem to wash their hands of their parental responsibilities. Now, of course, I don't know to what degree that's true, but I do know that many parents at this point simply leave it up to their child whether they come to worship or not. No, 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 no. Please don't do that. Do parents stop buying food for their newly confirmed child from the store because they're confirmed? No! Do they still pay for their children to participate in sports and piano lessons and all the rest? Then why, in this most important of all matters, would they abdicate? You see? And this is what God expects from parents throughout all of their growing years and even beyond. Look, my children are 42, 39, 27, and 22. And the way I go about it changes with their age and their issues of life. But I still try to help their spiritual development in any way that I can. And now I owe each of my daughters sitting here $5 because every time I mention them in the sermon, they get $5. They seem to think it ought to be 10 because of inflation, but I'm old school. But do you see? This is important. Truth is important. And of all truths, the truths of God are far and away the most important. Now, please take a look at something Jesus said. We saw it in John chapter 8. And I should have put up the words immediately before these, because the words immediately before these are, to the Jews who believed in him, he said. Okay? So he's talking to people who believe in him. If you believe in him, you know him as Savior. So now this is what he says. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Who doesn't want to be free? Everyone wants freedom. Now, who might be brave enough to share with us what it is that Jesus wants us freed from? Anybody? What? Death? Sin? Well, remember, he said this to those who already believe in him. So he's not really talking about eternal life here, but he is talking about what sin does here and now. Jesus wants us freed from anything and everything in this life that would keep us from becoming what God wants us to become and to enjoy. Listen, the world out there wants to keep you and me in chains. So does Satan, the god of this world. They want to keep people in the chains of addictions to alcohol or drugs, addictions to food, addictions to pornography, addictions to jealousy. Yes, they want to keep us in the chains of attitudes that cause pain, the chains of fear, the chains of hopelessness, the chains of pain caused by past events. They want to keep us in the chains of unforgiveness, hard-heartedness, and arrogance, and the list goes on and on and on. You're getting the idea. There's God and there's us, and God in His grace wants to help us to be the less the sinful us and more the God nature He's trying to craft in us. And how can that be anything but good? Now there's a process here. And the process involves truth. Look again at what Jesus said. If you hold to my teachings, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it starts with holding to something. And that something is the teaching of Jesus. Okay? Here's my sad observation. Many, many American Christians have and want only a casual understanding of the teachings of Jesus. This becomes evident and clear by how few Christians involve themselves in Bible study. And you know, it has often been stated that Christians are not easily spotted in society. You know why? Because they aren't free from the very same chains that non-Christians have. And they are in those chains because they aren't tenaciously holding to the teachings of Jesus. They can't tenaciously hold to them because they don't know many of them. And because they don't know His teachings, they can't know the truths that set them free. See how it works? Friends, the thing about truth is that it really matters. It really matters. The teachings, the truths of Jesus matter. They mattered in Luther's day. And because Luther could not rest unless people knew the truth about God's love and grace and forgiveness, he risked everything. And the truth matters today. It matters in our lives because the truths, the teachings of Jesus set us free. And the truth matters to the people who are out there. People who don't yet know Jesus. Now, they may tell you they don't want the faith you seek to share. What they're really saying is, I don't want your truth. But they aren't our truths. They're God's. We need to recommit ourselves to find ways of bringing the truths of God to them, even if they don't want them. Because the truth is, they need it. We need it. Because truth, the truths of God, truly, truly matter. They speak of eternity. They speak of freedom. The truth may be inconvenient at times. It may be hard at times. It may cause us to repent at times. But the truth is freedom. Amen.